Okay, the Shira is Lilui Nishmas.
Shalom Moshe ben
Rav Yaakov. Shalom Moshe ben Rav Yaakov. Shalom Moshe ben Rav Yaakov. Shalom Moshe ben Rav Yaakov. Shalom Moshe ben Rav Yaakov. The, alright, as we continue this series where we're doing something different, social justice, affirmative action, and giving equal time to the long neglected biblical criminal community. Right, and we're up to part number four. We're up to the Dor HaMabul, right? The generation of the flood. They are just in a league onto their own because they caused the whole world to go down. They took the whole world down with them. It's amazing. Something which no other generation had done or will do ever again, interestingly enough, because after this happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a shvua, never again. So it means there's something unique in a negative way about this generation that can never be duplicated afterwards. Right? So you have to understand, what they did that was so wrong, and get a little bit of a glimpse of what may have changed after the Mabul, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a shvua, no matter what happens, I'm never doing this again. Now, of course, the most interesting question to raise is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes mida keneged mida, measure for measure, a punishment that fits the crime. All right, so they were a bit promiscuous, a lot promiscuous, and they were stealing. What's the mida keneged mida? You get flooded. Why a flood? Well, what is it that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that because of this, he's going to destroy the world dafka with flooding the world? What's the mida keneged mida? They did promiscuity and they did gezel. Now, I was advised by people in my household. They said, you're talking about now, you're talking about the Mabul, and we're already holding in Sefer Shmos. Why don't you just skip to Paro, right? No, that would have been a mistake. That would have been a mistake, big mistake. Because, interestingly enough, right, the famous Gemara in Chulin that most people don't spend enough time on because they like the continuation. It's a Gemara in Chulin, everyone learns Purim time. Right? Daf Kuf Lamed Tes. It opens up Moshe Rabbeinu Min HaTorah Minayin. And then after that goes into Haman Min HaTorah Minayin and Hamin HaEitz and Esther Min HaTorah Minayin Vanochi Yaster Esther Pani. Of course, that's why people learn that Gemara Purim time. All these Rimazim, to the characters of Purim, all before they lived in the Chumash. But the whole thing opens up, really, with Moshe Min HaTorah Minayin. Let's see a remez to Moshe Rabbeinu, even before he was born. So the remez is from the Gzeira of the Mabul, the pasuk at the end of Parshas Bereishis, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now decreeing the Mabul, Lo yadun ruchi ba'adam le'olam b'shagamu basri yamav me'av esrim shana. I'm not going to contend with man forever, for he is flesh. They have 120 years. They have 120 years to do tshuva, otherwise I bring the Mabul. All right. So that's a remez to Moshe, b'shagam, for he is, b'shagam is gematria Moshe. So the gzera of the Mabul is really, a remez to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, the Tzar already points out, we're going to discuss this, a little bit later in the evening, but just to whet your appetite, Moshe Rabbeinu was in a teva. He was in an ark. His sister built him an ark, and that's how he got saved, and that's how he got adopted by Bas Paro. And, the finality of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the final blow to Mitzrayim, and which completed our liberation was what? Kriyas Yamsuf. They got flooded. So there's definitely a parallel. So we can't really understand what's going on. If you really, think about it, that's sort of, what's in the background of what's going on, that Paro himself said, Kola ben hayo'ora tashlichu, to throw the boys into the water. There's something, about the Dor HaMabul in the background that's being, loose ends are being tied up with Yitzias Mitzrayim, as we will try to explain. So now, everyone knows from Pirkei Avos, the Perek Chamishi of Pirkei Avos opens up with a very cryptic Mishnah. Ba'asara ma'amoros nivra olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with 10 utterances. What do we learn from this? God could have created the world with one utterance. He's of infinite power. But rather to take, is a reason for him to actually take vengeance, to punish the Rishayim that destroy a world that was created with asara mamros, with 10 utterances. V'litein schar tov latzadikim shemekayim esom shedir basara mamros, and to give good rewards to tzadikim who uphold a world that was created with asara mamros. It all sounds nice, but what does it mean? Right? That because the world is, basar mamors, that's why there's schar va'onish. That's what's being said over here. Reward and punishment, right, is because the world was created with 10 utterances and not one. Explain it to me. Why is that the case?
It's saying greater reward and greater punishment. It's not saying it should be constant whatsoever. It's just saying there was higher stakes because more effort went into creating it, so therefore, if you maintain it, you get more reward, and if you destroy it, you get more punishment.
Right. Okay.
But it still would be schar bonus, just not as great. It's not as magnified.
You say to give more. Okay, but I'm going to go with the derech of the Maharal and the Ramchal, not that they say exactly the same thing, which is indeed that we're talking about really the whole metzius of schar bonus. But before we get back to that, what's the very next Mishnah? Right after, on the tail of this Mishnah, Asar Doros Meodam Ad Noach. That's right. So interesting that the 10 doros are parallel to the asara ma'amoros, right? So now you get, the world was created with asara ma'amoros. The world got destroyed at the culmination of 10 doros, and it's called hevi alem esme hamabu. Right. So now, one thing is for sure. If they're undoing creation, and we have to explain how, right? In these 10 generations, they're undoing what God did with the 10 ma'amoros. You know how the world started off at the first instant. Water everywhere. Water everywhere. Like a marble. Water everywhere, then, light, but there's still water everywhere. Second day, he splits the waters. And then, that's the creation of open space. Third day, he, exposes the land. That mamish, the world regressed back to like the first day of creation. Now, it's something amazing to think about. And really, we should really ask this question also, right? Why did the world start off that way? The very first moment when matter was created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused matter to come into existence out of nowhere. It was a state of water everywhere. Starting to and then he started curtailing it, confining it. There is a . There is an interesting medrash says that before HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam, Haya Kiluso Ole Min HaMayim, God's praise came from the Mayim, as we say in the Shir Shoyom of Yom HaShishi, right? Mikolos Mayim Rabim Adir Mishpere Yom Adir Bamor Hashem. The waters say Adir Bamor Hashem. Then Kevad Shenivra Adam Haya Kiluso Olem Min Adam. When after God created man, now he wants to get praise from man, but then it didn't work out with man, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I go back to the water, and that's Hashem Lamabu Yoshav, right? Going back, and then the Medrash gives a marshal. Right, that a king had a palace and was staffed by deaf mutes. But they were good workers. And then he thought, I'd probably be more impressive if I had, normal people that could speak staffing the palace. But what did the normal people do, staffing the palace? Deep state, right? Right, they tried to overthrow the king, right? And so the king kills them all and says, I'm bringing back the mutes. Right, so that's also HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. He wants his kilus olam in Adam from the medaber, the Adam that speaks. right? As it's not working out, Hashem lamabul yashav, I'm going back to the water. So it's really what we're pointing out is really the mefurish and the medrash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu regressed back, brought everything back to the first day of creation, when kilusaya ole min amayim, but after that, he could go back to the Adam, after that, with Noach and his kids, and we're going to try to explain how the transition, now man will work out. Yes?
Yeah. The highest amount in a body is water. All the
yes.
cells that go to water, all the everything comes
yes.
from water.
Yes, it's true. All right, so let's talk about the Mishnah again. The Basura Mamars Nivra Ola, Alo Bamama Rachod Yaholi Boros. Right? So going in the Derech of the Ramchal, the Maral says something a little bit, along the similar lines, but going with the Ramchal, is the Ramchal says in the Das Funas, you know, just try to imagine, you know, as it were, mathematically, one mamar, right, for all the different creations, right, as opposed to 10, right, 10 mamars that you are limiting and you are restraining. You know, one mamar, he or only makes or, right, utterance, divine utterance. All right, like Vayom Elokim, right? One, it only creates light. This one only makes, Yikavu Amayim, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He says, you're really talking about the difference between finite power and infinite power, right? To say like this, that there is, even though me and you can't do this, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, even though he's of infinite power, and B'mamar Achad Yecholi Boros would be like a magical statement. It would be magic. And he's not using what we would call magic. He's doing something that at least fits within the framework of mathematics, of cause and effect. One mamar, a particular cause, creates a particular effect. Particular mamar, particular effect. It means the world is made up of, you know, units. Maybe units that are too big for me and you to handle. We would never be able to do this ourselves. But we're talking, you know, relative to God, right? He's right. Distinct and separate cosmic forces. As opposed to one mamar that creates a lot of different things, you'd be dealing with infinite power. And the world wasn't created there with infinite power. It's created with finite power, you know, seemingly. We're going to get into this. We're going to discuss this a little bit deeper in a second. So, says the Ramchal like this, right, and then we're going to move to the Maral. Right, but says the Ramchal like this, right, you know, if we would live in a world that was built that God would use his infinite power to create, right, that's a world that would be way too big for us to understand. Right, the very fact that we could have some type of comprehension and appreciation of the world around us is because, you know, we could get definitions. You know, these definitions are constantly changing, and that's because behind this quantifiable world is really infinite energy, and we're going to get into that in a second. But seemingly, like every generation had their handle on reality. You know, their biology, their chemistry, their physics, they made Seder. They made order out of life, right? Because the world seemingly, even though me and you can't build the world, but God did not use absolute infinite power in making the world, because that's a world we couldn't understand, right? World you'd like hold your hand in front of your face and not understand what you're seeing. Right? Everything would be just too big, right? Too big, be outside of any framework of cause and effect that you can make order out of. But here's the bigger point. Besides the fact that it gives us appreciation, right? That there's a framework that we could sort of wrap our heads around. I mean, we're constantly improving and improving, but it's possible to have a appreciation, even though the appreciation is constantly expanding, because of Ma Rabu Masech Hashem. But nonetheless, there is a appreciation every door, Lefi, where their Seichel reaches. Right? But more importantly, is since the world is, a world of units, right? You could add to it and you could detract from it. A world that was built on infinite power, says the Ramchal, you wouldn't have to worry about global warming, right? I don't know if you have to worry about it now either, but I'm just saying, right? It's infinite power, but it's not a world that you could affect. It's not, because there's everything is infinite energy, right, fueling existence, that's not a world you could destroy. But it goes the other way also. It's not a world you could contribute to either. Right? It's more than perfect. Right? And by the time you want to like catch up and give something, it already expanded past that point. Right? So says the Ramchal, right, the idea of the Asar Mamos created the whole reality of reward and punishment. Right? That it's possible to destroy a world, right? God forbid, right? And to give schar tovatim shem mekaimim olam. But if the world had been created b'mamar echad, that means the world had been fueled by infinite power, even by our perception, infinite power, and it's not a world that we could affect. Now, there's a interesting Gemara, right? Because it's very important to understand also about. Let me just drop a hint for those whoever have dabbled in basic Kabbalistic concepts. This is what we call the Eser Sfirot. These 10 Mamars are called the 10 Sfirot. The Sfira is Miloshin Mispar, the Mekubalim say, numbers. Right? That, you know. Now, of course, numbers. You know, numbers themselves are not quantities. They're concepts. Right, like three. I say three. You'll say three what? 3 pounds, 3 kilometers. Like, and that's the secret of what we do Seder night. Echad miyodea, shnayim miyodea. Like, what really, really is behind the idea of one? What really is behind the idea of two? Right, but now ein kan makom laharich another time. Right, but numbers are concepts that facilitate quantity. They themselves are not quantities; they're ideas. But quantities come from those ideas. So it's very important to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu is of infinite power, and he never stops being of infinite power. And the fact that he works, you know, and he emanates spheres, that doesn't mean he has in any way made himself in any way finite. Because the spheres, anyway, they're not quantities. They're ideas. They're ideas. But even behind these ideas lays infinite power. And with this we get into, in mathematics, we talk about the things like the irrational number, right? Or we talk about Zeno's paradox, like you shoot an arrow at a door, how does it ever get there? Right? It has to, for it has to go through infinite fractions, right? Half, three quarters, 7/8. How does it ever get there, right? So, so what's the answer to that? Right? Look, numbers are concepts, right? But quantities are quantities. So the fact that you could divide up into, many different types of fractions, that's all in the mind. That you could do that mental activity of dividing something beliefs off. That's a mental activity. But in physicality, it's as big as it is. Right? So, but numbers themselves, they lend themselves to these interesting ideas, like the irrational number you could spend your whole life writing out and you're not finished writing it. Or like the idea of infinite fractions between two numbers, because the numbers themselves are concepts that, and behind those concepts is infinite power, and that's why these interesting paradoxes emerge. And this, the Mekubalim have all said this, and this was explained to me by my sainted Rebbe of Moshe Shapira, Zechar Tzadik V'karach Livracha, whose Yahrzeit was just very recently. this is a Gemara in Chagiga. Gemara says that at the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world was expanding in infinite proportions. At shegar bo HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'omar die. HaKadosh Baruch Hu screamed at creation and said, die. Enough. And that's where the name Shakai, right, it is an acronym. Sha'omar lo'olamo die. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the world, stop. Right? And with this, we have another connection to this week's parsha. And we'll try to get into that. I forgot to bring my parsha sheet. I addressed that in my parsha sheet. All right, anyone who wants my parsha sheet, give me your email address on my way out, and I'll send it to you. Anyway, this Gemara in Chagiga is demonstrating the same point, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'etzem is of infinite power, and that's why the Bria Be'etzem naturally was going to expand in infinite proportions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu superimposed, right, limitations. Amar lo lomo die, right? And that was for our benefit, just for our benefit. And that's what the Asar Ma'amoros are, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu superimposed externally. He himself always is of infinite power. He never stops being of infinite power. He imposes externally on the infinite power this idea of units and boundaries, right? And it's for the purpose of, you know, keeping the world in check, right? In check in a way that, you know, we could understand, we could appreciate, and we could contribute to. But of course, the flip side of that is, you know, we could also destroy. So now you can understand a little bit of why in the first instant of creation, it was water, water everywhere, right? It's an amazing thing, right? That the, so first of all, you know, spatially, right? The whole space was filled with water, but you know, water itself is, as someone pointed out, it's not in boundaries, right? Boundaries includes, you know, not just, you know, first of all, physical shape, and water doesn't have it, but any distinct characteristics are also boundaries, because it's this and not that. It's red and it's not blue. It's blue and it's not red, right? And water is, you know, the idea that it's colorless means that it includes all colors. Right, it's the idea that the Sfarim say. The idea of colorless, they say, is that just the opposite. It's inclusive of all colors. That's why itself does not have a color, right? It has no shape. That means any shape could come from it. Right? The water is, you know, beyond boundaries, right? And water was indeed everywhere. There were no boundaries. That's what the Pasuk says in Tehillim. Gvul samta bal yavorim bal yashuvim lechasasarts, by the creation of the seas. You put a gvul, right, that they shouldn't come back and they shouldn't cover the earth, right? But at the first moment of creation, there were no gvulim, right? There were no boundaries. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, as it were, imposing boundaries, as he's giving tzura, as he's giving form, you know, tzura is also milashim tzar. He's compressing things into distinct shapes and distinct patterns. He's, you know, being made tzar, he is shrinking things and forcing them into patterns. And like I said, that was all for our benefit. It's what facilitates avoda, right? We would have nothing to do in this world, right? Excuse me?
Oh, I was thinking about the word Mitzrayim, which is tzar.
Right, very good.
And yam also.
Right, mate, sorry, yam. Yes, correct. Right track. Right. Yeah. Right, there's the idea of giving the world form, and that's for the purpose of avoda. Right? But you know, we want to eventually reach, you know, the madrega of getting past all these boundaries. These boundaries are necessary for now, right? Because we need to do work. And a world without boundaries, there's nothing to add, nothing to detract, because everything is everywhere. There's nothing to put together, nothing to separate. Right? But la'asid lavo in the future, right? Right? We talk about that, that varikosi lachem bracha ad bli dai. Now amar lo lamo dai, but in the future varikosi lachem bracha ad bli dai. Your lips are going to wear out saying, die, die, die. Right? We want to reach that level of unlimited blessing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does want to share with us his infinite power that's, you know, in the future. Right? Seikim yoshvim v'atrosem b'rosheyem v'nehenim miziv hashchina, and that goes on for on and on. And, right, you know, and everyone knows the pasuk, umola oretz deyas Hashem kamayim layam mechasim. Right, everyone will be full of knowledge about like how the sea covers, you know, water covers the sea. Right? Sort of going back to, you know, but going back to it when we're ready for it. Going back to when we're ready, because we have built kalim, we have built vessels to contain that unmitigated light through doing our avodas Hashem, through doing our mitzvahs. We have added, you know, when we had the opportunity to add to the Bria and to ourselves, we built special kalim. Right, we built vessels that will be able to contain that infinite experience. That's what our Avodas Hashem does. It builds our Chelek L'Olam Haba that lasts forever and ever. Right? But that's after we've done the Avoda. When we do the Avoda, then we could be Zochet to get the infinite. Right now, we are, you know, the infinite is hidden behind units for you, you know, to do. You know, to do whatever you can do and earn whatever you can earn. And then whatever you do, you know, those kalim subsequently are able to, you know, varikosi lachem bracha, I will pour out bracha ad bli dai, but our avodas Hashem makes those kalim, to be makabel, the aura of Olam Haba, to be makabel when HaKadosh wants to give us a taste of his infinity. Right? But we have to build the vessels, the instruments, to be able to appreciate it. And that's what we build with our mitzvahs. So first we have to live within the units, right, to earn, navigate through that maze. And if you go with these rules, you work with these units, that you navigate through that maze, and you will get the infinite experience. Right? And that's where the Torah is supposed to take us. The Torah is supposed to take us this, you know, to that level. And because Torah comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? It is his will, it is his wisdom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shared his divinity with us by giving us the Torah. But what did the Torah give us? A lot of laws. A lot of laws. A lot of gvulim. A lot of, you know, constraints. And we have mitzvah saseh also, but it's not hefker. You can't do the mitzvah saseh the way you feel like. There is a seder, right? You know, and that's why Jewish law, we may have mentioned, is called halacha. It's how to navigate the maze of reality. You want to get past the units to the infinity that's behind the units. This is the way to go. You can't, there is no other path, right? If you work with the halacha, right, that's the roadmap, right? So, but the Torah itself, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shared his divinity with us, like the famous Chazal, Anochi, as in Anochi Hashem Elokecha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Matan Torah, Anochi is Nutrikun, it's an acronym, Ana Nafshoi Kasvasi, I took myself, I wrote myself, I gave myself, the Torah is a taste of God's divinity, and the Torah came with a lot of rules, boundaries. No shortcuts. That's the way you do it. That's the way you, right? First, do something, make something from yourself, make something from the world, and what you add, those are going to be your eyes to see the infinite light. Right? That's going to give you your kalim. Right? So really, we do want to get to beyond the boundaries, the ad bali dai, but there's no shortcuts. You first do your job, right? And you accomplish, and what you've built for yourself, that's with those instruments that you built with yourself through your good deeds. Those are your kalim to have some type of kinyan, some type of acquisition in the infinite light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does indeed want to share. Right? The Gemara says in this, I believe, Sanhedrin, right, the Gemara says, Ma, it's a pasuk in Iyov, Ma shakai ki na'avdenu. Who is Shakai, Shomalot, that we should serve him? Ze Dor Hamabu. As I Chazal darshan those words, An Dor Hamabu. I said, sorry, Ma Shakai, right? Shena Avdeno. Who is Shakai that we should serve him? Right? You know, the Dor Hamabu, if you want to get into, like, you know, like the crux of what they were about, is they did not want any constraints. They did not want it. And that's the idea of the promiscuity, and the idea of gezel, right? Nothing earned. They wanted a free for all. You just take what you want. No boundaries. Makes no difference. It's someone else's wife. Makes no difference. It's someone else's money. Right? No boundaries. They just took God's blessing and they ran with it. They weren't in any way willing to constrain themselves, right? And play by the rules, right? They were out of control. They were taking there's an interesting Reb Yonason Apeshitz in the Yaros Devash, I believe it is, interesting drasha. Everyone's heard, you know, about the legend of Olympus, right? The Greek in Greek mythology, right? You know, and it was like these, you know, human form gods, one with beauty and one with strength and one with, as Reb Yonason Apeshitz, that Greek mythology are faint memories of Dor HaMabul. It's not, people thought eventually that they're just fairy tales. No, that's what was going on, right? You know, they were looking to tap into the cosmic energies, take it and run with it, right? You also know that there were the fallen angels, you know, the Nephilim that came to earth, and they taught them the usage of divine names and lahavdil incantations, and they were drawing hashpos upon themselves of strength and of beauty. And the whole thing, he says, all these stories that the Greeks have about Olympus, these are faint memories that they have from, that humanity retained from the Dor HaMabul. That's what was going on over there. Like, things were seriously out of control. And they were just looking to take and take and take, you know, take and run with it, You know, no concept of self-restraint. Now, there actually is a certain, like we said, there is a certain positive drive to that, right? Because that should be the sheifa, the aspirations of a human being, that he should want more, but he should want more of, you know, of Gilui Shechina, want more divine revelation, want more Kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, want more Kedusha and Bracha. Right? But they took that drive, right? And it was totally and applied it, you know, purely to their tivus, right? So with this you could begin to understand, right? The mida keneged mida that there was that they were punished with a mabul, right? Right? They were out to erode the tzura of the world because they found it constraining. And that's why they did some serious messed up stuff there. You know, the only ones who do that is like the leftists. You know, this type of promiscuity, interspecies mating. You know, and the Chazal tell us that there are some amazing creatures that walk the earth because of interspecies mating over there, and things like that. The idea of no boundaries. Pushing things to the limit. And in course of that, you know, they eroded the whole tzura, right? The whole shape, you know, a shape a society should have, let alone the shape of an Eved Hashem. Like the world had no tzura to it. It's like water, right? No order. Right? And they got punished mida keneged mida with a flood, right? But it goes deeper than that, right? It goes deeper than that. That this was a certain cutoff point, right? But I should say before we take it one step deeper, right? That everyone knows that the Sfarim work with the idea of four elements, which I don't mean elements like the periodic table. The Arba Yesodos are things more like what we would call solid, liquid, gas, energy, states of existence, Kayadua, you know. But the Sfarim, the Musar Sfarim, all say that from the Yesod HaMayim, from the element of what we call water, even though it's talking about not the water that we know, it's talking about a cosmic force, water, comes taiva, right? Desire. Desire comes from that element, right? Now, a person should have desire, but for tzoma nafshi le'elokim le'kel chai, desire for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Be thirsty for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? They're just taking desire for desire's sake, and they're running with it, which comes from the Yesod HaMayim, and therefore mida keneged mida, right? They got swamped with water, right? But there's something else that's nimshol lamayim. So taiva is nimshol lamayim. What else?
Torah.
Torah is nimshol lamayim. Right. And of course, Torah is nimshol to a lot of things. But right now, we're in the talking about the Torah is nimshol lamayim, right? That and it has to do with this idea. Right, that Torah, you know, aside from the fact that it's as important to the world as water, but aside from that, is that Torah is supposed to eventually get us with the power of Torah. We're going to transcend all the boundaries of Olam Hazeh, but only if you drink it to the extent that you can handle it. Everyone knows the famous Gemara that people should find cryptic, but now you can understand it a little bit. Zocha naso samachayim. Lo zocha naso samachayim. So there's a concept. That don't learn Torah with that guy. He's going to misuse it. It's only going to make him worse, right? Talmid Sheino Hogun, lo zocha naso samamaves. Why? Because he's just going to use whatever he learns to rationalize what he wants to do wrong. He's going to use it for his taivas, right? So you're going to use the Torah to direct you, right? Or the Torah is going to direct you, or you're going to use the Torah for your own agenda, right? Now, this there's no coincidence that there's 10 generations parallel to the Asura Ma'amoros. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to actually give the Torah to the Dor HaMabul, and that's why the remes to Moshe Rabbeinu, right, is there at the Dor HaMabul. B'shagam u'basar, right? The Ribbono Shel Olam, just like he created the world with 10 utterances, he wanted the world to reach perfection and be ra'ui, be merit matan Torah within 10 generations. The neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu was there in the Dor HaMabul. If they would have been worthy, right, they would have gotten Torah. They would have gotten the Mayim Ein Mayim Ela Torah. That's what they would have gotten. Right? Torah that's supposed to bring you, and you know, that you work with the Torah to become worthy of infinity. But you work with it. But you have to work within the confines. Shakai ki na'avdenu. You worship Shakai, the one Sh'omar lo'omar died. You have to have constraints. You got to play by the rules. But you work with the halacha. You work with the dinim. Through that, you can navigate to getting to infinite power. Right? But they didn't want. They just wanted the shortcut. Straight to, you know, the infinite, you know, without the work. Without the work beforehand. Without the work. Right? So because of that, you know, the problem is that without the work, you get nothing. Right? Because the divinity, right, the divine energy that's hiding behind anything, you only tap into that through halacha, through keeping the mitzvahs. You try to get it, you know, without doing work, you get nothing. You just get the physical experience, you know, without any of the spiritual value. You can only tap in to the spiritual energy if you go with the halacha. Right? They didn't have patience for that. They wanted to break all the boundaries and go straight to the infinite. Right? So as it were, there is a Lashon Chazal that says that the Mea Mabul was actually a manifestation of Torah. Right? Because lo zocha nasis lo sama mavis, right? That the Mea Mabul was actually a manifestation of Torah, but you know, because they didn't have kelim to take it, it drowned them. Like the so lo zocha nasis lo sama mavis, right? You want without boundaries. I'll give you without boundaries. You'll see you can't handle it because we build the kelim to be able to take it, right? We build, you know, through keeping halacha. Right, through constraining ourselves, we actually, build certain qualities in ourselves and in the world that we could have a connection to the infinite energy. Right? So now this door comes at the end of a set of 10 that was created, you know, out of pure chesed, right? Right, man had no claim on deserving life. Why? Because God created him. You know, right? You know, did Adam deserve to be created? You know what I mean? Deserve to be created? He was created, you know, out of nowhere. Right? There was no concept of deserving. There was no concept of earning. Right? And they had to discover the idea of earning by themselves. Like they knew they were 10th generation. It's not too long ago the whole world was created out of nowhere. Ki lolam chasto. And they were counting on that. They were counting on God's kindness, and they wanted to just milk it for everything. And that's another thing, you know, the Yesod HaMayim is Keneged Chesed, Kayedua, right? Mayim Chesed, Eish Gvura, Eish Din, right? You know, they were relying on God's pure kindness. Hey, he created the world. No one earned it. No one earned being created. It was all done by pure divine Chesed. So let's milk it for all it's worth. Pure Chesed. No avoda, no being zoche. Zoche is a concept of din, being zoche.
It says unconstrained chesed. That's why they use the sadi narva chesed, who by certain
That's still true.
Yes.
We're not born because we deserve it.
Yeah. Except, but here's the thing, you know, and this is the Beis Yaakov from Ishbitza makes this interesting point, right? You know, that it's both psychologically but also philosophically, right? When first being created, you know, no one ever earned being created, right? So they knew, you know, they Akash created the world out of pure chesed. The world didn't earn being created. So who says you have to earn at all? Let's just, you know, go with it. Chesed, you know, rely on divine chesed and not have to give anything in return, not do any work, not do any earning, which that's all din. So now, you know, Noach and his children, aside, you know, from psychologically, they learned the lesson. And mankind was, on a certain level, totally impacted and scared out of their boots from that time onwards until Bilam, right? You know, that Chazal tell us that after the Mabul, you know, they learned the lesson, the whole mankind, and they were actually very self-restraining. There was one exception to the rule where they were a little bit lax in this. That was Mitzrayim, right? But, you know.
Sodom and Amori said that was the fact that they were so like stingy and that there was a reaction to the Dormammu.
Exactly. They wanted to go to the opposite extreme. Right. Absolutely. Stone. Right. Yeah, each one took their own lesson, and they took it in their own strange way, right? But there was, as it were, both in Klali, the Lashon Chazal, Gadru Atzmam, the nations were all Gadru Atzmam. They took on constraints. They did Gedarim. By Noahide law, Hilchos B'nei Noach, a father is allowed to marry his daughter. Right? Noahide law, Hilchos B'nei Noach. A father's allowed, a mother can't marry a son, but a Av can marry a Bas, right? It's not one of their Arayas, right? Right? And, I'm just saying, interesting halacha. So that which by, what? It's a Gemara. It's around. I'll show it to you in Hilchos Melachim. It's not one of their Arayas. A father can marry a daughter, right? When Lot had the story with his daughters, the fact that Avraham Avinu was so embarrassed he had to move away. So the Mefarshim say that was because it was a minug. After the Mabul, they were very prudish and they took on Gedarim. They even took on, as it were, for lack of a word, the Rabbanans. And they were geyser. A father shouldn't marry a daughter, as another siag for Arias. Right? That's how affected they were. Until came who? Bilam. And Bilam, advised, the Benos, Midyan to be promiscuous. Right? As Chazal say, he did, more damage that, he pushed the world back because they had learned their lesson from the Dora Mabul. Right? They were Gadru Atzmam, so it's like psychologically. The strong holdout, the last holdout that was trying to live life like the Dor HaMabul, like in a small way, was Mitzrayim. Now you're trying to live somewhat, and that's why when the Torah commands against promiscuity, it's the parsha opens up, Kemase Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yeshavtim Ba Lo Tasu. Don't do like the Egyptians, and it goes into the whole parsha of Arias. Right? Look, they just saw Sarah, they just took her right away. It was, they were very promiscuous people. That's what, that's what Yosef, he knew exactly what he was saying when he told the brothers, Liro says Ervas Haaretz Batem. The first say it was also literal, Erva, you want to go, you come in here to watch, how, get cheap throws watching our promiscuity. Liro says Ervas Haaretz, they were called Ervas Haaretz, right? And that's why their koach came from the Nilus. Their koach came from the Nile. That was one of their avodah zaras. Their koach came from the Nilus. And they're trying to drown, right, dafka, the Jewish males, in the water. And the very fact that they chose the males and not the females. So the Maharal explains this. And the Maharal says, because again, water erodes tzura. Right? Now, they wanted to destroy the tzura that the Jewish people are bringing to our world. We're teaching the world about law and order, tzura. Right? So now they thought like this, Maral says this all the time, that man is connected tzura and woman is connected chomer. They thought that they could just marry the Jewish ladies and impose their way of life on them, but it wouldn't work with the boys. So the boys, dafka hayyora tashlichu, to erode the tzura that Klal Yisrael is trying to bring to the world. They were Mitzrayim was the last holdout of the last remnant of something left of Dor HaMabul. And that's the secret that Moshe Rabbeinu, his whole life is going up against water. Ki min ha-mayim mishisihu. He gets beyond the water, but at the end, basof loka b'mayim. Right, that was his lifelong battle against the mayim. Right, so it was loka and mei meruiva, and that's what the Tagiyah Parsha says. They saw Moshe and saw loka b'mayim, but he's battling against water. Against what's left of the Dor HaMabul. The Dor HaMabul was meant to get Torah if they would have been worthy. And he's battling against what's left of it. That's the secret. Moshe is also in the Teva. He's also in an ark. It's the whole thing's happening over there. And it ends with Mitzrayim being drowned in the Yam Tzuf. Right? They have their own personal Mabul because they were trying to be the last holdout of what was left of that door. Right? And when the Torah came to the just generation, supposed to get Torah, just like the Torah was supposed to be given back then, and it canceled them out. The Torah was supposed to be given to this generation, and it canceled out the Mitzrayim. That's what caused the, came in tandem, came together. Torah coming down to earth, and then, getting swamped, and being removed from existence. Right? But there's a deeper vort, right, over here that says the Beis Yaakov from Ishbitza, and this will end off. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a shvua, never to destroy the world again with a mabul. And he didn't, why did he take that shvua at the time we created the world? You know, he just made a world, you know, take a shvua never to destroy it. Right? He waited till after the mabul. Right? So he says like this, a very interesting idea, aside from how the mabul affected mankind psychologically, like we explained, that, you know, it had a tremendous effect. You know, and Mitzrayim was the last stubborn holdout that had to hold on, but the rest of humanity, you know, got on board for a structured, you know, moral, you know, morally structured lifestyle. But there's something else.
How many years was it from the Dora Mabu to, let's say, Kriyas Yam Suf?
About 1,500 years, roughly. Yeah, roughly. Yeah, 1,500 years. Anyway, the we said before, you know, they had a perception that the world runs on chesed. If the world runs on chesed, chesed doesn't know distinctions. If you're a Baal chesed, you give to everyone equally. You know, in din, in judgment, you give everyone exactly what he deserves, not more, not less. All right, chesed, there are no distinctions. Chesed, there's no obligations. Chesed, there's no boundaries.
What's going
right?
Chesed, there's no gender.
There's no gender. They didn't think there was gender either. They broke. I'm telling you, you know.
That's why it's ironic that the rainbow, which is, I'm sure it's been said, the sign that God, that I'm not going to destroy the world, that it's become co-opted as a sign for that kind of lifestyle.
Right. Okay. But here's an amazing point. So it's a very deep philosophical idea, and I'm not sure, maybe we can try to understand it together, how din, as it were, became be'etzem, a part of the framework of reality. Because I said, they knew chesed. They remember just 10 years ago, God created the world out of nowhere. The world is being built on pure chesed. Why should there be avoda? Why should there be any gvura or din? Yeah. But then, you know, that all makes sense, you know, when, you know, you get something for nothing. But what if you got something for nothing? I gave you something. Here, take it. You know, it's yours now. You know what? Secondhand, give it back. Then I take it back. So what? You gave it to me already. You gave it to me already. Right? So now, when you first got it, you had no taina on it. It was a matana. Right? But after you got a matana, it's now legally yours. I'm not to take it away. And if I do take it away, you have a taina. Right? So it could start as a chesed, but then it could become yours bedin. Right? You know, in the Ishbitzer philosophy, the philosophy of the Meshiloch and the Beis Yaakov, you know, in that dynasty, they talk about that this was really the function of what we say, you know, Chazal tell us. It's not just in the Kabbalah, it's even in the Midrashim. They are HaKadosh Baruch Hu bona olamas umachrivan. HaKadosh used to create worlds and destroy them. Now, of course, it doesn't mean he was cruel, God forbid. You know, the philosophical idea, right, behind it, says in all these bits of Svarim, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give you the right to daven. You have a taina, ki nisasani v'tashicheni. You rose me up, then you threw me down. Hey, but I took you out of the gutter. Yeah, but once you brought me up, don't put me back in the gutter. Now you have a taina. Now you can dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now you can have a concept of deserving. But if it's all, you know, it comes out of nowhere, and that's where the whole story ends. Just getting out of nowhere, that's just chesed. But you got it, but then it was taken away. Well, now there's a taina. And now there's, I could work to get it back because it was once mine. Now there's a taina. Now I could speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, who are you to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you got something for nothing? But now there's a taina, right? Because I once had it, and now you took it away. Give it back.
It's the same concept like a Torah with a baby, they say, right? That was, you learned the Torah in your mother's womb, and then you...
Right, exactly. Right, that's right. It follows the same pattern. What?
Can you repeat?
You said the idea you learned the whole Torah in your mother's womb, and then you forget it. Having once had it gives a taina, gives a legitimate claim, and that's din already. Claim is din. Just getting for nothing is chesed. But if it's withdrawn, right, you have a claim, give it back. You gave it already. You can't, right, so it started with chesed, but now it's din, right? But now, not a relationship is din because I have a taina, I have a right to it because I once had it. And now I could build on that right to have it. I could build on that right and become deserving of it and earn it. So giving b'chesed, but then withdrawing it, creates a forum for din, earning, demanding, either davening for it, and you have the right to daven for it, or you, it should be possible to earn it back, climb back to it, get there with work. But before then, there's no programming for work. You understand that? So that's what he says, you know, the Yishbitzer. Very interesting. That the world before the Mabo was a world of pure chesed. And the world didn't have any tainus, right? Because that's why Avoda was just so foreign to them. They didn't know any type of program called din or Avoda. Everything was just
spoiled children,
right? And you know, and it works the other way. That's why, it says in Yishbitzer an amazing word. That's why God was fully within his rights to destroy them totally. Because they had no schus to live. They didn't have any, they didn't earn anything. There was no schuyot. Right? God will never destroy the world again because the world has a schus to exist. Right? The world has a schus to exist. You know, innately. From the fact that it existed once, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed it by the Mabul, but something was left of that world. Noah, the children, they come to Rebosh with a taina, give it back. But now din already is innately part of the framework of reality. Right, that the world is in a like we want to get back what is we want to reclaim, like the Torah that you had in your mother's womb and you lost. We want to reclaim. It creates that the mahalach now is bedin. The world has so even if people aren't performing so well, but the world has a taina, right? The right to exist. Ki nesasani v'tashicheni. You raise me up, and now you throw me away, right? That's a taina. The world now has a taina. Right? So now the world has a taina, the Ribbono Shel Olam can't destroy the world ever again. Right? No matter how long they say, because they have a claim to life. Right? But in a world that was kulo chesed and there was never any other program, there's no claim on life. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was justified in wiping them out. Aside from the fact that they deserved it. Right? They had no claim on life. They had no claim. It was all chesed. It was all chesed. And chesed, there's no obligation in chesed. There's no obligation. Now there's obligation. They have a taina, because they existed once, and now that was withdrawn, they have the rights of reclaiming. And now since the world has this nekuda of din, the right to daven and to work and to reclaim, that because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the shore, the world should never be destroyed. Because the world has a schus kiyum, it has a claim on life. Right? Because now there's a mitzvah of din and avoda in the very framework, in the very, very workings of reality, the world. Reality has a claim, has a taina, has a, you know, a taina, the potential to make demands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the rights of reclaiming. Okay, that's what I want to say. Any questions?
Yeah. Just in terms of you mentioned that Moshe was lakavu mayim, the name of Riva.
Right.
You say that water is a metaphor for taiva. Mitzrayim, in other words, the is a makom of taiva, etc.
Yeah.
But how would we say maybe Riva fits into that framework? Is there any notion of taiva there, or where do we see taiva?
Well, over there, I mean, not taiva per se, but according to the Rambam, Moshe Rabbeinu's chet was that he got angry. He lost control.
Nice.
Kas. So even though it's not taiva, but he did lose control.
It's one of the three things
that's what's in the song of the novel. But the point is that he is up against the water because he's going to bring Torah to the world, which is like the real water. But the real water comes first with obligations and gvulim and gedarim, and through that you get to the infinite, you know, expanse. Right? You know, that's versus the fake water of wanting to just mayim azeidonim, the evil waters are just like running with the taivas. And that's Moshe Rabbeinu, by no coincidence, who gives us the Torah, is also the one who destroys Mitzrayim. All right, the real water of Torah versus the fake water of running with your taivas uncontrolled.
What part do Goyim have in this whole picture?
What part?
You know,
right.
Only halacha gives you whatever. What's there?
Yeah. Well, listen. The initially.
What was the question?
The question, what role do Goyim have in all this?
In this
well, they have their halachos. They have the halachos of the seven mitzvahs.
Right.
They have
their seven mitzvahs, which one of them is dinin. They have to have a justice system. Right?
Which
Right, legal immigration, right? Right, right, legal immigration, et cetera, et cetera. So let's have a justice system, right? But that's also the point that the truth is that the Bnei Noach, now since we're getting into it, we say the remez to Moshe Rabbeinu was by the Dor HaMabul. So this is a very interesting point that you've raised. I'm glad you raised it. Really, I'm very glad you raised this. Because really, you know, in the nations of the world that don't want to recognize Am Yisrael as the chosen nation and Jerusalem as our eternal capital, right? You know, what are they thinking deep down, deep down, deep down? You know, this Sfarim says, I believe it's also this Sfarim of the Ishbitzer also. They're thinking like this, no, the rainbow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a covenant with me just as much as the Jews when he took the Shavuah not to destroy the world. That's on me equally as them. They're not better than me. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, took his oath to never destroy the world, you know, to us and to the Jews equally. Right? They think they have koach to endure lanetzach forever, you know, because the shvur that there was by the Mabul was on them just as much as, you know, Bnei Yisrael. But they're wrong. They're wrong. Because the whole step of Bnei Noach, right, is only a stepping stone, right? You know, it's a intermediary step in the, for lack of a better word, the evolution of humanity to come to a higher level of Bnei Yisrael. Right? So, you know, the Bnei Noach were necessary. There's this level called the Bnei Noach, right, which is, you know, immediately after the Mabul, but it was not its own goal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Shavuah to the Bnei Noach in order to facilitate getting to a Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why the remez to Moshe Rabbeinu is by the Mabul, right? The whole tachlis is to get to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? But you know, humanity wasn't ready to go straight to Matan Torah. But you know, it comes up in the very next Mishnah in this Perek in Ovis. The next Mishnah, Asor Dos Minoch Bar Avram, Lo De Kanch Parav Farav Shekodos Vimachlo Barav Ad Sheba Avram Vinu Vinotol Schar Kulam. Avram Vinu gets the schar of all of them, all the 20 generations, including Noach and his children. Avram Vinu gets that schar. That means that the whole tachlis of those 20 generations is all to come to Avram Avinu. And of course, Avram Avinu for the purpose of getting to Moshe Rabbeinu, getting to a Matan Torah and to an Am HaNivchar. Right, so the Bnei Noach, because of the downturn that humanity took, because first of Chet Adam Rishon originally, and then, you know, with further deterioration, like the Dor HaMabul, we couldn't get back to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov immediately. It was another 10 generation process. But the Bnei Noach is a means. It's an intermediary step of the refinement of humanity until there is, you know, a higher level of those who are chosen from amongst humanity, the Am HaNivchar, and that's the real tachlis.
Well, would Adam have gotten Taryag? Was that at all ever part of the plan?
He would have gotten Torah. He would have gotten the Eitz Chaim. But the Sfarim say that he would have not necessarily had Taryag mitzvahs because they may not have been necessary. We need so many mitzvahs because there's so much impurity in the world that has to be, that we rid the world of through the mitzvahs. If the world is more pure, you don't need as many mitzvahs. Right?
But what's the step? Because you're saying that the
Dor HaMabul, Adam
let's... Dor HaMabul would have gotten Zohar to Matan Torah.
Right.
In other words, Matan Torah would have been higher than Adam HaRishon, I'm trying to understand the process.
Well, it's hard to know because it didn't happen. It was a potential.
No,
right?
But I'm just saying, the theory of it. In other words,
the theory
of it
is that, yes.
That means it would have been placed at a higher level than Adam HaRishon?
Right.
It would have been,
we got Matan Torah, but, you know, even though we have Torah that Adam HaRishon didn't have, but still, we're starting on, as far as our personal level, we're starting much lower down the scale. We have a resource Adam Rishon didn't have, right? But our personal level is much lower than where he was before the sin.
I'm just saying, in other words, the notion that Adam Rishon would not have gotten, there was that was pushed off. The Matan Torah was not given initial to Adam. You're saying it was planned for later generations, not the initial generation of humankind. So I'm just wondering. Well, why is that? Or is it because he sinned? That, in other words, God, the initial plan was Adam HaRishon would have been.
Listen, I think I understand what you're saying. Look, the Ramchal says in Derech Hashem, after Adam HaRishon, it was fair game for any generation, any time to become the chosen people. Fair game, right? And he gave it 10 like we learned, 10 generations. And
well, why not just Adam? Why even the need for chosenness? Why not just all of humanity? Or Adam himself? Or like
Adam after the sin fell.
After the sin, in other words, so he wasn't capable.
He wasn't capable anymore, but there was fair game for anyone to break out of the box. Right? And then, but then by the Dor HaHafloga, which was our next topic, in this series, the Dor HaHafloga, as we're going to learn, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sealed, till the Dor HaHafloga, even from Noach and his children, any one of them could have become the chosen people. At the Dor HaHafloga, it got sealed, only Avram Avinu and his descendants, and the potential for everyone to become the chosen people was closed to the rest of humanity. Initially, they all had a fair chance. That's how initially, why were there billions of people in the world? Because all had a fair chance. Why are there now billions of people in the world? Really, a lot of them are unnecessary.
That's what Trump said today about Central America.
The Rambam talks about this in his Hakdamah Zroim. Why there are so many people in the world? They're useless. He says, listen, the bears have to eat somebody, right? That's what he says. Keeps the animal population in check, right? In the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos in Zroim. He contemplates, why are there billions of people in the world? If the human population would shrink, then the animal population would expand too quickly, and it would be dangerous. So we need these people to keep the bears in check. That's one of his...
Look at it just the opposite, that we're encroaching on them.
Right.
It wasn't...
Right.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so prior to the Dor HaHafloga, anyone could have equally been the Jewish people. At the Dor HaHafloga, the gate was sealed.
Was Avram born?
Right?
Was Avram born at that point?
Yeah, he was born already, yes. Dor HaHafloga got sealed, but to HaKadosh Baruch Hu justifying this, and the Ramchal says this, that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu justifying that no one should accuse him of being unfair, that he sealed off the Goyim, from becoming the chosen people. And that's why not Taka Kasha, why they're around, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take off any claim of injustice. That is why he offered them the Torah at the time of Matan Torah also. He was vindicating himself. You see, you guys don't want it anyway, either. They was vindicating, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was vindicating himself for what he had done by the Dor HaHafloga, as we will learn Be'ez Hashem in the next installment. Okay, thank you very much.